nonprofits, let's raise more money. For this episode, Jake Mangus joins us to share his story of being introduced to the nonprofit world and how he faced obstacles head-on with the why of his mission in mind. Let's get right into it.
Hey, Jake. Thanks for being on here with us.
Hey, brother.
Guys, I really appreciate being with you. I've been looking forward to this all week. So ever since Trevor and I talked about it, it's always great to connect with a former teammate, and glad to be here with you guys.
Yeah. Jake and I played baseball together throughout high school, collegiate ball, and we've known each other for a very, very long time. Little background, Jake Mangus is here with us, everybody. So super, super thankful. Been looking forward to this episode, too, because I think we've got some really cool stuff to share that we're going to lean on you for. But Jake is the CEO of the Redding, California Chamber of Commerce in my hometown, and our hometown, as a matter of fact. And Jake is, well, since he took the position in 2016...
That's right. Yep. January of 2016.
He's probably the best person I could ever think of to take this position, just because you have such a heart for the community. You're very community minded and driven. Family man, amazing man, and has been doing some amazing things at the chamber. I have a particular affinity for business in this area as well, because I grew up in a small business atmosphere. I know how much Jake cares. And I also believe in the strength of a community. You know, sometimes can be defined by a few different things, but the, you know, business and commerce, you know, can be a really interesting barometer for the strength of a community, and being business focused and business first. And Jake not only is the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, but he's also runs the Chamber Scholarship Foundation as well. So there's a nonprofit side, and they do some really, really awesome work with students. So that's a long intro and a long ramble about you coming on, brother, but we're really thankful to have you, man. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Glad to be here with you.
Well, hey, Jake, I want to jump and ask you. So when you showed up in 2016, things weren't all just rosy. It wasn't like you just inherited something that was like all set up and going. You kind of had your work cut out for you.
Yeah, I think that was part of the attraction for me in taking on this role, was that it wasn't a well-oiled machine. It needed help. And I had been working in television ad sales for 7 years, and then I came on board with the local Catholic Charities Agency for a decade, raising funds for them. And then you get to that point in your career where I felt a plateau. And for me, that's the unsettling piece. It's not how much money are you making and all that stuff. And at my core, it's, am I able to use my talents to the best of the community? And am I challenging myself? Am I growing professionally? So I just started to have this mind shift that maybe working for Catholic Charities for the rest of my life wasn't the plan for me. So I was just open to it. And three opportunities came my way nearly instantaneously. Two of them were financially driven primarily. And then the third was the Redding Chamber of Commerce. And that's when I had that moment where I'm like, this is exactly what I need to be doing. So 35 years old on day one, January of 2016, and then reality hits me right in the face. And it was the balance sheet, which of course shows you how much cash you've got in the bank right at the top. What's our liquidity looking like here as an organization?
It wasn't favorable, you told me.
No, I would say it was probably the definition of insolvent, because we had less money in the bank than we owed at the time. And I admittedly had probably a 24-hour moment of freaking out and thinking, did I just make a big mistake for myself and for my family? And then I had that look yourself in the mirror moment where I thought, no, this is exactly what I was looking for. And let's turn this into actually the greatest gift you could ever have had given to you, because it was this realization that this is exactly what our members are dealing with on a daily basis. They're trying to figure out, how do we make ends meet? How do we keep the lights on? How do we make payroll? And as a Chamber of Commerce supporting the business community, if we don't do what they need us to do to help them, then I think we become one of the first things that get cut from the budget, you know, like, you know, becomes more discretionary instead of necessary. And I want people to see us as a necessary part of their business. So right away it was, what can I do to make it through this first month back in January of 2016? And you've heard people say it's all about relationships, and it truly is. And especially in a town the size of Reading, which we have about 100,000 people here, but in a lot of ways it feels like a small town. So I made like 2 phone calls to a couple of people that I knew either ran businesses or had access to marketing funding. And they both said, we're going to help you out. We're going to invest in the chamber. We made payroll that first 2 weeks, and we've never looked back. So it's been so much fun to be involved in everything that happens in our community, it seems like, and to truly feel like you're making a difference. That's what I've always gone back to. It's sort of that Simon Sinek thing of knowing your why. And to me, it's income follows impact. So if we can make an impact in our local community and that businesses see us as valued, then valuable, we're going to see the income follow when we have.
You know, I think that's something that you brought out. There's several things in there that I just want to come back to. So one, I want, you know, you said the why. What is my why? Why am I here? What am I doing? And I think for people in the nonprofit world, professionals, whether you're for-profit, nonprofit, whatever, is understanding what your why is. If you're just there for a paycheck, well, if the paycheck's not there, that it's not stable, it's not there, you're going to jet and you're going to go. It's when you're in something that you really believe in, and I don't care what business it is, I don't care what nonprofit it is, there's going to come a point in time where it's going to get hard. It's going to be really hard. And if you don't have that, you're not sold out to the cause, so to speak, how are you going to get through that time? Well, you're not. You're going to drop it and step off to the next thing. And you see that happen in businesses, especially in nonprofits. You know, they go, oh, I'm out of here, and they go to something else. So talk about that a little bit more, finding your why. You know, you said, well, I had three things that I could go do. You're obviously in the fundraising world. You know, Catholic Charities been around a long time, stable. They raise a lot of money for a lot of great causes, do a lot of great things. So talk about that, though, that shift and change to dig into that why. And how did you use, you know, really dig into say, okay, this is it. Because, you know, you talk about 24 hours of panic.
That's truth. So I think there was this one moment where I was in that discernment mode back before I knew that the chamber was an option for me. And we were at a stoplight in downtown Reading. And I saw this, that's the California building code turning off the lights on me because they couldn't see that I was moving. So sorry about that. But anyway, so I was at this stoplight in downtown Reading, and this person who was out on the streets, they were presumably homeless, maybe mentally ill, maybe addicted to drugs, maybe a combination of those things, was crossing the street in front of our vehicle. And I turned to my wife, Janet, and I said, you know, it's really too bad that I can't focus in on my hometown, because where I currently work, I get spread across 6 counties here in this huge geographic location. And I always feel like I'm trying to stick my finger in that leak in the dam, you know, in this community or that community. And it's a losing battle sometimes. So I just had that thought, whether it's self-inflicted pain or not, I think that human suffering before us is our responsibility in some way to do something about it, because it affects all of us. And I just didn't know what exactly that meant at that moment. And then when the chamber opportunity came around, it not only was it this chance to work in Reading, but also it was a chance to realize and dive into the critical importance of the success of the business community to help alleviate those things in our community. You know, we're offering people opportunity to help themselves. And then we're also creating resources and revenue streams for the public sector, for nonprofits, and for all of us to try to tackle those societal challenges. So it really was an answer to discernment and to prayer to be able to have this opportunity that I don't take lightly. There's only one chamber president in our community. So, and I followed a man who had been in the role for like 24 years. I remember going back in time and thinking, the person that was in this role before me was brought in when I was in third grade. So it was like a long run. So on we've gone in trying to figure out how do we best support Reading and work with our city and our county and the local nonprofits and creating an environment that will be conducive to opportunity for the private sector. So growth in the community to happen, our downtown to be revitalized, and then also kind of into that core again, the image and reputation of our city, not only for people from the outside looking at Reading, but how do we within our own community think about ourselves and talk about ourselves and experience our community? Do we go to the things that need work all the time? Or do we actually remember to take a look at Mount Shasta rising in the distance, or the beautiful Sacramento River teeming with trophy-sized rainbow trout right in the middle of our community? Go for a jog in the morning and experience the river trail. Watch the sunrise. Know you've got smog-free air and no commute time because it's easy to get where you need to go.
It's a secret. Don't tell people.
I want to just stop you for a second. So I was out in Reading just about 3 weeks ago. And I took a run on the bridge. We went through the bridge on the trails. We went Nate downtown. You know, we got to see this. This is a really cool, great, really nice, 100,000 size of about 100,000 community. It is a beautiful town, beautiful scenery, and just a really great feeling and vibe. And I think people do feel good about what they're doing. So
you've been a part of that, brother, big time.
Yeah,
man.
Big time. I want to hit something about how if I can invest in this community, if I can, we can get, make this beneficial to the businesses. You said not for us, but for what the community is going to do, about how if we can lift up businesses and help them and give them value, the money's going to take care of itself. Then you said, but if we do that, they're going to be able to help the nonprofits. That's going to help our society, going to help our community. And I think that's part of that why. That's part of that thing that a lot of times people, and you know, we're talking to nonprofit leaders mostly, and that they understand that they're not just improving this specific mission, this specific segment of society that they're working with. It rises all boats. And I think that's really important to keep in mind when you're trying to figure out your why about what you're doing, because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, you know, it's just, and so I think that's just I appreciate you sharing that. And so my next thing, I'm going to ask you, this is maybe a little bit different. So when you get there, you have the realization, oh crap, we don't have any money. I got to figure that out. So you identified the stakeholders, the people that had capacity, and you went, so what was that conversation with them? Specifically, like, what was that when you picked up the phone and made those calls? What was that conversation?
Jake, you hold on to that just for a second, because I just want to reiterate to everyone, Jake did exactly what we implore people to do every single day. We keep telling people it's not what you know, it's who you know and how well you know them. And when Jake was faced with this, you know, disadvantageous spot that he was in when he took over the Scholarship Foundation and the chamber, he picked up the phone. You know what I mean? He picked up the phone. He picked up the most powerful tool in fundraising, as we keep telling everyone. And he picked up the phone and he went to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, do a deep dive on that or reverse engineer what you did for us, Jake, for the audience.
I appreciate the question, Jason. I was overwhelmed by the welcome committee to this role. There was a special gathering at a local restaurant, and people had signed this banner that, you know, basically said, congratulations, Jake, and all this stuff. And I like to deflect a lot of the credit to other people, so it was hard to accept that. But I also know that receiving the gift is also a blessing to the person that's giving the gift. So I felt this responsibility, certainly, but also really empowered and encouraged by a lot of people that said, we need this change. We need this fresh perspective. We're so excited about this new chapter. And so then when I looked at where the rubber meets the road and being able to fund the mission of the organization, you know, it's going back to those people in that core group of folks that are close to me, are closest to me, and saying, here's the reality of the situation, and here are some of the things that I'm really excited about doing, but we know it's no margin, no mission, right? So you got to go for it. And that's exactly what I did. Then it was all about building a team that, number one, reflected what I'm all about in having a service mindset and knowing that I always saw it as a mirror. And it was like before, the chamber was looking at itself and saying, wow, look at what we're doing and look at us as an institution. And instead, sort of like, you know, a church is comprised of the people that are in the pews, not the four walls. Turning that mirror around and saying, this chamber's about you guys. We want to amplify your message because the storytelling component is what's so powerful about the chamber. It's about that little mom and pop shop that had that dream and they hung the shingle. They made a go of it. They were able to employ some people and provide a service or a product and grow to another location. They were able to sponsor the Little League team, you know, all of these different things that make the world go around. And to know that they're relying on us for resources, for solutions to their challenges, working with the building department and trying to figure out how do we expand, trying to deal with, you know, human resources changes in our state and how do we work within those. And then we were faced with a few different things in our community. There was the car fire in 2018 that ravaged part of our community, shut down business across most of the city. Then, of course, we had the
pandemic. And I just want everybody to understand, when he says car fire, he means forest fire that just burned.
Yes.
Not an actual car fire, but it ravaged that area.
That's a great, great context. And then the big one for us was COVID-19. And it was similar to day one at the chamber, where when the governor in our state said, we're going to shut down the entire state of California, that was another one of those moments of, holy moly, what are we going to do? The next day we got together as a team and we said, now is our opportunity to prove to our members that their investment in our chamber all of these years was money well spent. They need us to step up and be the chamber that they deserve. So we were able to not only be a resource for them, but also to work with the county and the cities to successfully get $4 million in business grant money out into our businesses so that they could survive and make it to the next phase in their business. But really it was about crisis management. And I was so proud. I am so proud of the work that we did and have done. And I'll say that I'm part of a larger association of chambers that is called the Western Association of Chamber Executives. And we did a project years ago called Brand Birth, which was, we know why chambers have existed in the past, but many of us have drifted into parties, parades, and pageants, the three P's of chambers. And we need to get more focused on the three C's, which is being a convener of leaders and influencers to get things done, a catalyst for business growth, and a champion for a stronger community. Like, those things get me fired up. That's what I want to do every day. I don't want to just be known for the mixer that we had or, you know, whatever it is, but that we actually helped to drive the change that our business community needed.
Well, I think the thing that you're explaining and is, it's mission first. What is our mission? Our mission isn't to build a bigger chamber of commerce. Our mission isn't to do that. Now, if we do everything else, those things are going to happen. Our mission isn't to go get more people members. It's how do we help our client? It's client driven. And I think that is something I see that gets missed a lot whenever I talk to nonprofit professionals across, you know, we talk to them all across the country. Sometimes they get so caught up in the organization of it, they forget about the mission first. They're thinking about the party, the event. They're thinking about how do we going to, you know, we've got this shortfall. What are we going to do? And it always goes back to the mission and how, who cares about your mission?
Yeah. Mission focused. Mission focused.
That's right. We're always, you know, I have a communications degree, so I know that the first rule of communication is know your audience. And so the best way that we can know our audience is by continually asking them, how are things going and what are the biggest challenges that you're facing? So then once we've got that information, then it's up to us to create the solutions to help them with what is ailing them. And that's been our effort over the last 7 years now. And now the big thing going forward, outside of inflation and supply chain, those macroeconomic issues that we have a hard time affecting as a small town chamber, it's about workforce development, and it's about retaining the workforce in our community and complementing the work of others who are working to attract people into our community. So that's been a new adventure. And again, back to Chamber of Commerce food chain, we've got the California Chamber of Commerce in our state that is a great advocate for business and helps to fight for legislation that's going to be pro-business in our state. And then also the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which looks at the large issues that are facing businesses across the country, and workforce has been one of those top issues. So I'm part of a business fellowship with the U.S. Chamber currently that is focused on how to equip local chambers to be effective industry representatives that bring commerce and the classroom closer together, industry and education. Right now, it's the fourth graders and the eighth graders that are our future in the workforce, and they've been really hurt by the pandemic over the last couple of years. Their test scores have dropped like we haven't seen across demographics.
Yeah, it's across the country. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's rough, brother. Yeah, I remember you telling me this, Jake. You remember you telling me this the other day when we spoke about how you're bringing the classroom. And I've always been a huge advocate of, well, all these things make the hair on my arm stand up. You know what I mean? Like, it gives me goosebumps, you know, all these things you're saying, because Jason has owned multiple companies. We have our own company. I grew up in small businesses. My parents had two different businesses, one when I grew up in the Bay and then one here, and was working since I was 11. So these things really mean a lot to me in my soul. However, back to the classroom and bringing commerce to the classroom, I just think that knowing what I know now, I know that sometimes certain educational institutions are not made for everyone, right? And vice versa. So having those resources and teaching kids, you know, how to balance a checkbook, maybe, you know, a young entrepreneurs group or what, I just think that these are all really great things. You know, hey, maybe you want to build a business. Maybe that's your dream. And, you know, Jason and I have talked about that recently. That was my dream. That was literally my dream. I wanted to be a businessman, you know, or an athlete. So, you know what I mean? So it's like, and I was talking to Jason. I was like, and his wife when they were in town, and he's like, hey, bro, you did it though. And I was like, you know what? I didn't even think about it. I was like, we're doing it right now. So I just think, and we were always talking about how a 501c3 is a tax designation, and you still have to make payroll, and you still have to serve
your
mission.
Plan.
That's exactly what we preach. And man, I just, all these things should really resonate with the audience big time. They resonate with us. Amazing. Amazing. And like Jason and I probably every day we'll tell at least one person, hey, and we'll do it carefully and delicately and politely. But someone will say, so I'm a 501c3, and we do, and we'll go, okay, we know. You don't have to say that. And so you didn't pick up the phone and go, hey, I'm Jake with the Chamber of Commerce. This is what the Chamber does. And you immediately went, and we just keep preaching this as many times as people will listen and hear it. That's how many times that we're going to say it. Mission focused. You told people what you were going, what you're doing right now, and what you're going to be doing. You know what I mean? Regardless of if the shoe dropped. Yep, man. I just love it, Jake, because it resonates so much with what you're saying, unprovoked, because we didn't stage this. We didn't script this. What you're saying resonates so greatly with our audience.
I want to hear, Yeah, I want to hit Jake with another question, because, and it goes back to what you're talking about and what you do now. So, you know, you talked about identifying the stakeholders, bringing them in, talking to them, saying, hey, this is what we're doing. You know, this is what we've got to do. And they came in, they said, yeah, we're in, let's go. Because they wanted to be asked, how has that changed now?
Yeah. What's that look like now, man?
I would say that now we've built a reputation during this era of the organization where people are coming to us and unsolicited, wanting to participate and support us. They're wanting to be members, and they're also wanting to be investors in the organization. And that's been really helpful. We've been able to prove ourselves worthy of public contracts. So we, as a chamber, are now the local visitors bureau as well, which comes with it greater responsibility and opportunity too. So our staff has grown, and the breadth of our services, that has grown as well. And I would see us into the future having a third component to what we do. So we've got traditional chamber work, we've got the tourism side of the house, and then I see us building some sort of a workforce program. And just today, I'm going to be visiting with our local Office of Education about what may be available in that respect. So opportunities exist, and I think that's come with some earned, earned reputation over time, that we're more interested in you than us.
But you still, I'm gonna push you a little more on this. You still, though, have a list. I have to believe that you still have probably a list of however many, I don't know what it is. It could be 10, it could be 50, I don't know, of people. Whenever it comes time where you need to move the needle for something, that's where you go first. You're going to pick up, because they're probably your biggest fans, your biggest investors, the people that are going to continue to help grow this, because number one, you know, you can count on them. They care about what's going on. They want to see the mission pushed, move forward. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, you're correct. There is from my fundraising days, I have that gift range chart concept in my head, which is, you know, I see the pyramid, and I think about those that are at the top of the pyramid that are giving really high dollar amounts, but they're a smaller group of companies. And then you work your way down the pyramid that way. And that's kind of been when I think about it just on a conceptual level, that's kind of the way it is it's, what are those handful of business partners or investors that I know I could go to them because they've got the link to our organization, they have the affinity for our organization, and they're going to probably have the capacity as well to be able to contribute to us financially. That is a huge win for an organization like ours, to be able to know you've got a small group of people you can count on. Our board of directors has been very supportive of myself over this time period. I'll grab my keys to illustrate my point. They said to me when I arrived, they go, here are the keys. Go ahead and drive us where we need to go. And that's been very consistent over time, and I've appreciated it. You guys have helped us immensely as well. HGA fundraising came through, how many years have we been doing this now? Our annual gala that we have, you guys have driven home the point of leading with the mission, giving people the opportunity to contribute. Don't sell yourself short. You never know if you don't ask. And as a result, I was just looking, because it's budget time for us right now, I was looking at last year's expectations for our Legends and Leaders Gala, and it was here, and then our actual revenue, our net income was here. And so I credit that a lot to HGA coming in and helping us with the tried and true concepts that you guys have implemented for organizations like ours across the country. So thank you for your help in helping us to grow our impact as well.
Well, we appreciate that. And you know, Jake, thank you so much for taking time. I know, you know, it's really been good and sharing your story of what you're doing and how you're impacting your mission. So thank you so much.
Thanks for peeling the curtain back for us, brother. I really, really appreciate that. You know, that means a lot to me. I'm flattered. Thanks so much for the kind words. It means a lot, and I'll share it with the team. That's for sure. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Selfishly, can I be on that list of people that you call the go-to list?
I want to be on that list.
Okay. If I'm not already on that list, I want to be on that list, if that's okay. Selfishly.
Hey, think about it as a little circle of trust.
He wants to be in the club.
Hey, you know, I was speaking in front of a group of high schoolers a few years ago. And they said, you know, that one of the questions they had for us as a panel was, what did you want to be when you grew up? And, you know, did you realize your goal? And it was sort of like what you said earlier, Trevor, where I wanted to be, shortstop for the San Francisco Giants as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And that...
But you were left-handed, so that's a problem.
Yeah, that ended up not happening. However... The realization was go pro. You can go pro in whatever you have a propensity to be good at doing. So that's been the message. And I know that you guys have done that. And Trevor, I'm really proud of the work that you've done in making it and realizing your dreams in a sense. I mean, you're a professional athlete, which means you got paid to do your sport, and that's true. And then, now, as an entrepreneur and business owner, it's been great to see you grow as well. And one of the businesses that he was referring to was called Senor Rosa's, and it was a Mexican food restaurant in Reading. They had amazing burritos, and one was called the Hum Baby because of Roger Craig, the San Francisco Giants manager. So I'm looking at my wall in my office up here at a picture of Will Clark of the Giants hitting a line drive up the middle off Mitch Williams. And that was on the wall at Senor Rosa's, and I used to sit by that picture. And then Charlie, Trevor's dad, came up to me and he said, we've made the decision that we're going to be closing the restaurant here in the next few months. And when we do, that picture is yours. So it's always stayed with me.
That's cool, man. That's cool, brother. Well, you beat me to it. You beat me to it, homie. I'm exceptionally proud of you, and I love you, brother. And I love your family, and I love everything you stand for. And I just could not have picked a better person to do what you're doing. And, you are a true professional, and, I'm grateful to even know you and have this conversation. I think it's a beautiful thing, brother. So I can't thank you enough for being here.
Hey, I love you too, buddy. So we'll see you soon. Thanks, Jason.
If you guys got anything out of this, if you appreciate anything that happened, please share it with another professional out there, and give us a like and subscribe. Thank you so much.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. If you love our podcast, click the download button, rate us, and follow us on social media at HGA Fundraising. Get out there, start fundraising, and raise more money. See you next time.